Blog Talk Radio.
If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. Fellowship, let's go.
My testimony is real.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is moving by His Spirit. And we're talking about grace. Amazing grace. We don't deserve it, but it's by His grace. Be blessed with the song, and I'll be right back.
Thank you, Lord, for keeping me.
Lord, for being sweet to me. I want to thank everyone for tuning in to www.blogtalkradio.com/KBDI, Kingdom Builders Development. You can call in. Our call-in number is 646-668-2780, or you can even Skype. Skype us at Kingdom Builders, and that's with the S. I want to thank you again for tuning in, where we are blessed to be a blessing. This is Prophetess Teresa Dots. I want to welcome you to Kingdom Builders Development. And then I would like to thank you for just being faithful to what God has called you to do. And stand in that place where God is able to use you. Amen. It's not about us. It's not about our challenges. It's not about our fears. It is about completing the mission that we are here to complete. And I want to thank you for just all those that have sold into Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters. And for those that would like to sow, we want to give you a way to sow, a way to sow into what God is doing. You can go to www.giveify.com. That's GIVELIFY.com. Go to the website and you can sow with Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters. Amen. And if you'd like to mail in your donation, you can mail your donation in to 19785 West 12 Mile Road at Southfield, Michigan, Suite 309. Amen. Glory to God. We are going to be talking about the basics of all forgiveness. Basics of all forgiveness. Amen. Where forgiveness sometimes doesn't make sense. Amen. It doesn't make sense to man, but guess what? It definitely makes sense to God. I just want to do a word of prayer, and then we're going to go on with our teaching. Father, we just glorify you, Lord God, and we thank you for how you move by your Spirit. Thank you how you lead, guide, and direct, God. Thank you, Father, that no weapon, not one, formed against us will prosper. And thank you, Lord God, that every single tongue that rise up against us in judgment, not only do you condemn, but we condemn in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that greater is in me. Greater is in me that's he that is in the world. So I thank you that there will be no weapon that's going to be effective to what you would have Kingdom Builders to do. I ask you to go before me, Lord God, as I minister your word, Lord God, and I thank you that I'll be hidden behind the cross as you are exalted in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you something to be excited about, because the more God wants to bless his people, the more he'll use you. Amen. You have to be willing and you have to be obedient, because the Bible says if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Amen. Glory to God. There's a glory that comes with obedience. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to be talking about forgiveness. It's a fundamental part of this Christian walk. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Get your Bibles out and get ready. We're going to go for a short ride in the Word, and I just want to encourage you, turn to Matthew 6, and we're going to read verses, amen, 14 and 15, and I'm going to start with 12, Matthew 6, verse 12, and then we'll go on to 14 and 16. We're talking about forgiveness is fundamental. Amen. And it's kind of similar to the Sermon on the Mount. Forgiveness as it relates to the Lord's Prayer. Amen. Glory to God. I pray that you have your Bibles. And I pray that you are prepared. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. For God is so awesome. God is so kind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Sometimes you just have to say hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You know, when you think about forgiveness, you think about some of the things that you have dealt with, and you think about what's required of you. There's a requirement to walk this Christian walk. You know, sometimes we say we forgive, sometimes we say we love. But God is the only one that knows true love. Amen. He understands true love. Amen. Matthew 12, verse 6. Now listen to this. And the Bible says, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. So while we're on this line, it may not seem to be the most important one, but it is most likely the hardest one to apply. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. My God, when somebody owes you something, especially when it's money, you're going to be, oh, he owed me, or oh, she owed me, but you want to be forgiven when you owe debt. You know, Jesus has circled back to this point after having spoken on prayer. And the point that I'm trying to make is that it's important enough that he revisit the subject. So it means something to him. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Just giving it as a prayer. He put that in the prayer as the prayer was given. So is because he found it interesting to put it in the prayer, it must have some type of value. Forgiveness is equivalent to forgiving. So Jesus had made a link between the forgiveness we receive from God and the forgiveness we extend to others. So what I see is it's a vertical line to forgiveness, and then it's a horizontal line to forgiveness. Amen. And it's designed, it makes a cross. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Amen. And then let me go on and read 14 and 15. It says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you also, will forgive you. And then verse 15 says, and if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It sounds to me as forgiveness is the key thing. You know, sometimes we say that we're Christian, we're believers, and we walk in so much unforgiveness that it's so heavy and thick. And what it does is unforgiveness open up that portal that other demonic forces can come and rest at the door when you walk in unforgiveness. Amen. When you're walking in unforgiveness, you tend to be isolated. And when you isolate it, and you're not around wise counsel, it'll lead you to a place of misunderstanding. Sometimes you can be misunderstood. Amen. Amen. But what did Jesus say? What would he say about this? He said, first, we forgive others. So we have to have a heart to forgive. Now, sometimes we're so stuck on ourselves, stuck on what we want, stuck on how we feel, stuck, that we don't realize that we're walking with an ought. We're walking and living with unforgiveness. And that can be very dangerous. You know, knowing our human nature as I do, that would mean that Jesus would never get a chance to forgive us. Because we go through our checklist of people to forgive, and inevitably, there are some that are missed or even pushed to the bottom of the list or saved for a later date and later time, but that may or may not ever come. We'll walk in unforgiveness, it has an effect on our Christian walk when we make a decision that we're going to not forgive a person, because sometimes we're not able to live. I just want to live. I just want to live. I just want to breathe. I just want to do God's will. And I believe that when we, when forgiveness doesn't make sense, one of the first persons that we should forgive is the people that have hurt you the most. Amen. The people that have hurt you the most, start with them. The people that have violated you or have lied on you or have murdered you with words or, you know, whatever the situation may be, put them on the top of the list. Let the hardest challenge be dealt with first. Because guess what? His grace is sufficient. You know, it's a joy that comes with forgiveness. It's a joy that comes, and others can see it on your face when you're free. And others can see it on your face when you are in bondage. Amen. But I talked about the vertical and the horizontal line that I see. Forgiveness. Forgive those. Forgive our debts. And forgive our debtors. I want you to forgive those that have hurt you. You know, even those that you just don't want to be bothered with. Make a decision to say, I'm going to forgive them anyway. Don't wait for them to ask, because they may not ever ask. You know, sometimes things can happen and it looks like you're the person that implemented this big situation that you know nothing about. But nevertheless, make a decision to forgive. It doesn't have to make sense. Why? Because God said that it's a charge to keep. We have a charge to keep and a God to glorify. Amen. Let me give you two examples. In Acts 13, verse 38, amen. Acts 13, verse 38. Verse 38, and the Bible says, therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sin. Listen to that. Let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sin. So he's saying, I'm going to forgive you for your sin. I'm going to forgive you for your shortcoming. I'm going to forgive you for your lies. I'm going to forgive you for thievery. I'm going to forgive you for everything that you've done. I choose to forgive you when it doesn't make sense. It doesn't even make sense to you. Why would he forgive me? Because he chose to forgive you. And that's the lifestyle we have to use. We have to live by. Make a decision to forgive those that have despitefully used you. Make a decision. Let's read Ephesians 1 and 7. Ephesians 1 and 7. We're talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness. If I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, I have to make a decision to forgive. It doesn't matter how the person feel about me. What's important is how I feel toward them. I'm responsible for that. I may not like your ways. I may not even like your personality. But I have to love you, and I have to forgive you. Amen. But Ephesians 1 and 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood. Listen, God set this thing up for us. The forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. He set it up, and he set it up deep. The riches of his grace. See, we don't earn our forgiveness from God by our forgiveness of others. We don't earn it. We don't earn our forgiveness from God by our forgiveness of others. The forgiveness of sin comes from the free gift of Jesus Christ. Why? How? By going to the cross. He was innocent of everything. He was innocent of everything. And any charge brought against him, he bled and he died in order to pay for my sins and yours. It was through innocence. He was treated as if he was guilty. He was offering with no defense, you know, in the court, no rebuttal. There was a debt that was owed, a debt that I owed, a debt that you owed, a debt I couldn't pay, a debt that you couldn't pay, a debt that Jesus could only pay. Amen. So what's so important is we have to understand, count up the cost of the oil in your alabaster box. That's why it's important that we're found doing. Amen. We're found busy, because if we're not found busy doing what God called us to do, we'll be found doing something else. Amen. So he already paid the price for us. And because he paid the price, we could live. We can live. We can tell him, I just want to live, God. I just want to live. How do we live? We live by keeping his commandment. We live by doing the work of the kingdom. We live by being able to be a blessing others. Amen. Not a curse. Hallelujah. But a bless. A blessing. Amen. But there was a debt that was owed. And Jesus paid the ultimate price in order, and I'm going to just take this thing personal, in order that I may go free, in order that I might be set free, and able that I may be able to preach the gospel, and able that I may be able to teach the word, and able to enable me to keep his commandments, to turn from any wicked ways. Amen. So I want you to imagine if you were in debt up to your eyeballs, and you have received your last notice from the bank. I want you to put yourself in these shoes for your house and your car, and the IRS is now about to seize your assets and garnish whatever you have left. Lord, have mercy. They're going to take your bank account. They're going to take your house and your car. Then suddenly, see, that's the kind of God that we serve. He's a suddenly God. And then suddenly, someone swooped in and paid all that you owed, because you couldn't pay it. You didn't have it to pay. So you no longer have a mortgage. You no longer have a car note. You no longer owe anything to anyone. You're free and clear. So in the spirit spectrum, that is what Jesus did. That's what he did. He paid the price so that we might be free. So why are we still in bondage if Jesus paid the price? He paid the price. Whom the Son set free, hallelujah, is free indeed. Whom the Son set free. It's free indeed. I want you to get that in your spirit. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. Amen. God is awesome. You know, he did what only God can do. So now all our debt is free. And it's awesome because we don't have a mortgage. We don't have a car note. We don't owe anybody. We're free and we're clear. So the virtue, the vertical and the horizontal exit, they're linked together. Not in a way that we might think by just the cursory of reading these verses, 14 and 15. My forgiveness of you does not cause God to forgive me, but rather my forgiveness of you is a consequence of Jesus having forgiven me. Do you get it? For to have it twisted. My forgiveness of you, it does not cause God to forgive me, but rather my forgiveness of you is a consequence of Jesus having forgiven me. He started this thing. Amen. He's going to finish the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last, the bright and morning star, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let me give you an illustration. Let's do this. Okay, it was a lady that was abused by her father as a child. And then she then married a missionary. And that was her dream. And it was the parable of the unforgiving servant. That's Matthew 8, 3 through 35. Matthew 18, 23 through 35. And I'm going to read. Matthew 18, 23 through 35. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? He was asking a question, and he was answering the question. What a question. But Jesus said unto him, I do not say to you to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle account with his servant. And when he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion. He released him and forgave him of his debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by his throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his servant fell down to his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me. I will pay you all. And he would not. And he went and threw him into prison till he could pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all your debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he could pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from your heart does not forgive his brother and his trespasses. Verse 35. So the two points that I want to make is forgiveness is not an option for the followers of Jesus. We forgive others in light of the fact that Jesus has forgiven us so much more. So much more. That's why I encourage you to be around people that walk in forgiveness. Be around people that truly love and truly serve, so that it can be an influence to you and all those others that you're around. So through all he had been through and all that have wronged him, Jesus decided to forgive them. So even though others have wronged us, it's pale in comparison as to how we have offended a holy God. In the parable, listen to this one. The king had forgiven millions of dollars, whereas the other servants owed so little in comparison. Listen, Jesus is not stingy with forgiveness, and we shouldn't be either. Those who are stingy with forgiveness will often point to this passage. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Listen what the Bible says. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. And the Bible says, let bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you and all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now I want to focus on the word, even as God in Christ forgave you. We're so quick to judge others. We're so quick to think that we're right and they're wrong. We're so quick to have an ought to others. But he didn't make us God. He made us brothers and sisters. So we have to learn to understand where the other person is coming from. Amen? And we have to forgive them. We have to make a decision to let them off the hook. So we don't value people like we should. We don't value forgiveness that we receive from God. We minimize our own sin. You know, we can't see the shortcomings, but we can see everyone else. Holier than thou. But one definition of repentance is to see our sin as God sees it. So until we look in the mirror, until we get a relationship with ourselves, until we see our own sin, we will minimize God's forgiveness. Oh, I didn't do this, and I never did this, and I never went there, and I never, never, never. Holy lie. Sometimes we try to justify things that's unjustifiable. See, we live in a culture that is blind to its own sin, to know yourself. It's okay to get angry and sin not. The Bible says that. You know, you have people say, oh, I wasn't angry. Let's go back to the parable. So we see the amount that the servants were forgiving versus the debt that he owed by the other servant. But when our eyes are open to our shortcomings, our sin, and the forgiveness we have received, guess what happens? It changed our hearts. We love him more than we have joy, which is needed to aggressively reach others. See, the joy of the Lord is a strength. The joy of the Lord, it shows up on your face. It shows up in your action. It shows up in your demeanor. The joy of the Lord will make you laugh. The joy of the Lord will make you cry. The joy of the Lord will make you forgive. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Let's reach in that bucket and get some joy out. Amen. Amen. We aggressively need to reach people, and we can't reach anyone with a sourpuss face, with an attitude, spirit of the Lord. So the realization that our sin is real and which lead us to the solution in Christ is the source of a revival. We need it. We need to be revived. We need to get out of the norm and then say, okay, Lord, it's me. Stand in the need of prayer. It's me. Oh, Lord, it's me. I need to be revived. And we've been in this quarantine situation. And a lot of times, being in quarantine, you be isolated. And the enemy work on your mind. He works so much on your mind that he really can lead, guide, and direct us if we're not careful. Amen? So for those demanding that others come to their place of repentance, I want to encourage you to take a walk to your place of repentance by forgiving some true pain. Let it go. Amen. I want you to put yourself in the place of God. And God can demand repentance prior to forgiveness because he was never wronged. He never wronged anyone. He had nothing for which to repent. So we can't say that. How often party we see as having offended us has been wronged by us also. You know, the horizontal exit is referred to walking in offense. It's a two-way street. We offend God, but he has never offended anyone. And if you have a problem with God, guess what? You the fault. Amen. You got a problem with God, you the fault. You are at fault. God has never sinned and therefore has never had to be forgiven. Now, we are not in that place. We are not in a position to demand repentance. We're not in that place to expect someone else to be what we want them to be. We're not in that place. So in a sense, we have a greater obligation, and that obligation is to forgive others than God can forgive us. Chew on that for a while. We're sinning against others. We offended people, don't even realize it. Unforgiveness is like swallowing poison and waiting for other people to die. May not be a physical death, but spiritually, we kill our brothers and sisters daily. I'm going to say chew on that one. But forgiveness, like I said, is like swallowing poison, unforgiveness, I mean, and watching, hold on to it. If you keep on holding on to that unforgiveness, you go on the prayer line, you go to Bible class, you go to Sunday school, you go to your go to meetings, classes, you go wherever you're going to get more of God, and then you got so much unforgiveness. And we make a decision to move right along in our unforgiveness. So what about when I forgive him and he just hurt me again? Where is the protection in that? Between forgiveness and reconciliation. There's a difference. You can forgive and not reconcile. So I understand the premises. There's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling man back to God. So if we all are supposed to reconcile man back to God, then we're all preachers of the gospel, and we don't even know it. We can't release the anger over what we have done or what they have done, but it's not a one-way street. Listen, reconciliation is a two-way street. Forgiveness ensures that the bitterness won't eat you up inside. Did you know that? Forgiveness is for you. It ensures that the bitterness won't eat you up inside. You might hear, I have a cousin that talk of good talk, but it's so much unforgiveness and so much bitterness, and they wonder why they always ill. Bitterness will eat you up inside. Forgiveness is not pretending that what the other party did is not wrong. Isn't the reality in which we have been called to live. So I forgive you, and it doesn't mean you're not wrong. It's just an example. I chose to let you off the hook and let me off the hook because that bitterness is going to eat me up inside. Let me give you an example. What about Joseph? You know, Joseph, speaking about his brothers, you know, they meant it for evil. Hallelujah. But God meant it for good. Sometimes your good can be evil spoken of, but don't let it be you're the cause. You can do good, and then memory still goes. Joseph didn't sugarcoat the situation. He brought it out and still forgave them, choosing to rest, thank you, Jesus, in the sovereignty of God. But at the end of the day, if we realize that our own sin and proper values does not equate to the amount of forgiveness that we have received from God, we will experience our own personal revival. And we will then see how little the offense really is, how little it matters. You know, they say it really don't even matter. Let it go. Offense have caused so much trouble, have broken homes and broken families because someone is offended. You know, discord, sowing discord. Some people are followers, and you sow discord in their ear, and then they're all divided. So don't think that you don't deserve forgiveness, that Joseph's brothers didn't deserve forgiveness. They deserve it, but they wouldn't have it if it wasn't for the grace of God, and neither would we. But God made it possible that forgiveness is fundamental in our Christian walk. It's something that we should do. The Bible says that when you pray, you should forgive. Forgiveness. Study yourself. When we begin to study oneself, we're not so focused on others. Lord, make me better. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Lord, renew the right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So Satan, he want to grip a firm habit. He want to reap habit on you, cause you to be envious and spiteful, malicious and vindictive and ruthless and name it and claim it. He want to break up marriages. He want to batter relationships. He want to steal your peace. He want to make you lose your mind, make you think it's this way and it's that way. He want parents and mom and dad not to speak to their children. You know, he has a plan. Hate is his message. So begin to block and delete. Amen. And no replay. Amen. But glory to God. I just wanted to put that in your ear, that we began to understand that forgiveness is essential, that we have to have a heart to let it go. Stay busy with the things of God, because idle mind, I'm going to say idle minds, are the devil workshop. Think about Nelson Mandela. He spent 57 years in prison in Robert Island. Think about that. And the jailer name was Christo Brand. Brand started to work on that island off of Cape Town in 1978. But when he was 18 and Mandela was 60, Mandela was in prison. And during the time that he was in prison, he chose to forgive the people who harassed him, antagonized him, tormented him. He did all that. And it was, and this just came to my spirit, when good men do nothing, evil prevails. So as he went on, he later became the president. He took special care to single out that prison guard for recognizing him while he was in jail. Prison guard helped him while he was in jail, and he repaid him. He lifted his arms. He greeted him warmly. He immediately made the big announcement. You know who this person is? This person was my warden. This person was my friend. This is what you call forgiveness. He won him over. He won him over. While he was there, he began to be rude and mean and harassing him, but his kindness, ha-ka-ra-ra-bo-she, praise the Lord, won the heart of this prison guard. And when Mandela became the president, he said it to everyone, forgiveness comes from the heart. It should not stop with just forgiving, but we need to take a step further and reconcile, get closer to the person. And I know we're busy doing what we're doing, cleaning and upholstering our house and getting ready for whatever we're getting ready for, buying new cars and houses and what have you. But let your priority be to establish relationships to understand other people. You can not only forgive, but you can reconcile with those people. Amen, amen, and amen. God is so faithful. God is so good. And God is so kind. So much that he chose to forgive us, that he chose to love us in spite of our ways. Amen. We are the kingdom people, God. And when we feel like giving up, just decide to give, forgive. Amen. Because guess what? Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. So again, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Go and forgive somebody. Go and call somebody up. Go and pray for somebody. Go and preach to somebody. Go and talk about the goodness of God. Amen. Glory to God. Forgiveness and reconciliation. Just tell them, I forgive you, but I don't want to have dinner with you. Okay? Don't you dare. Because that's what some people will say. I don't want to have dinner, breakfast, or lunch. But forgive them and pay for their dinner. Forgive them. Pay for their meal. Amen. True forgiveness will bring you inner joy. And then you can enter kingdom. Amen. God bless everyone. We love you with the love of God. Keep Kingdom Builders Development Institute in your prayers as we launch out our next endeavor. And we want to encourage you, if you like what we're doing, don't be afraid to sow into what God is doing through us. We're excited and delighted. We are doing business coaching. So if you need some coaching done, you can feel free to give us a call at area code 313-583-9739. Amen. And I want you to begin to say, victory belongs to Jesus, and put a smile on your face, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. Amen. God bless everyone, and I want to play this song in my departure. God bless you, and have a wonderful, peaceful rest of the evening.
We are victorious. We are victorious. Nothing can